May the crucified Christ be exalted among us in the words that we proclaim and in the hearts of ours that believe. Amen. I suppose you've noticed the crucifix here next to the pulpit. I wanted to preach about the crucifix. Frankly, they make us uncomfortable, as well they should. We squirm before them, and it has nothing to do with any anti-Catholic bias. We simply squirm at the sight of a crucifix because of the disturbing image depicted on that crucifix. For there on the crucifix, we see the weak and the wounded image of our Lord, experiencing the most vindictive pain and violent death. The brutal image of Jesus nailed to the cross, being made to suffer, is simply too painful to look at. We turn away from this image, but it's more from fear than it is from disgust. For we reason, if the sinless Son of God was made to suffer in this way, what will happen to us? What will happen when we are forced to face a righteous God that we have made angry by our sins? The image of his crucifixion is made even more painful once we realize that we are the reason for what he suffered. We shudder to think that our sins did this, that our sins deserve this. Yes, the image of our Lord's crucifixion is a disturbing sight. Not just because of all the blood and gore surrounding the passion, but because we see our Lord agonizing on the cross for everything that is evil and ugly about us. We see Jesus being chastised for our sins, for those things that we would rather not acknowledge about ourselves. We look to the outstretched arms of Jesus, rejected by God and despised by men, dying on that tree. And we are suddenly struck by the awful realization that that really should be me. And yet everything that angers God about us was being punished, was being put to death in this one man. Anticipating this outcome, Isaiah had prophesied that Christ would be a man of suffering and of sorrow, intimately familiar with grief. For you see, from the first sin of our first parents to the very last sin of the last person that will ever live, every sin of every human being was gathered up, was pressed together, and then was offloaded onto this man. There on the cross, God made his Son, who knew no sin, to be made sin for us, with the blessed result that God now declares us innocent in Christ, so that you and I have peace with God through him. By taking our sins upon himself, Christ now owned our sins, and he owed his own lifeblood for them. And so the weight of the world's sins came crashing down upon the crucified Christ. God's wrath came down violently upon this sacred head now wounded. Like the thunderous and repeated pounding of a giant hammer. God used the hammer of his own divine justice to crush his son on the cross as a sin offering for our iniquities. We committed the crimes, and yet he is the one that God sentenced to die in our place. In a heroic act of unconditional love for sinners, God carried out our death sentence by executing the Son he loves instead of us. Christ was executed under God's law so that we might live by God's grace. Jesus received the punishment of the law so that we would be certain to receive the pardon of the gospel. When Jesus looked up to heaven and shouted, my God, why have you forsaken me? My friends, this was not just for dramatic effect, but Christ was truly abandoned by God on the cross. God did actually withdraw his love from his son, Jesus. This was the hell that Jesus suffered. It was compressed into those hours that he was on the cross. Christ was forsaken by his Father for this reason, so that nothing would ever be able to separate you from God's love for you in Christ. Life can't separate you from God now because of Jesus, and death won't. All of this happened to our Lord Jesus, even though we are the guilty ones who really deserve to die. But becoming our substitute before God, Christ's death brings us life. His punishment won our pardon. And in the familiar words of Isaiah, by his wounds, we are healed. What most don't understand is that someone did have to die. God's law had been transgressed. Death demanded a sacrifice. Death required that a life be taken. As sinners, death once owned us. And not just physical death, but spiritual death. Physical death occurs when the soul is separated from the body. This is how we usually think of death. But my friend, spiritual death or eternal death is far, far more frightening and serious. This second death happens when a soul is forever separated from God. And Jesus was not afraid to endure the shame and the scandal of the cross to keep this second death from ever happening to you. It is faith in the crucified Christ that makes the first death as harmless to a believer as taking a Saturday afternoon nap. And so in the darkness of that first Good Friday, the totality of human sin was transferred onto the shoulders of this seemingly frail figure who was affixed to the cross by nails. See his open wounds. Look at the blood running down his face from the thorns set upon his sacred head, now wounded. See how the blood mixes with the sweat and runs down into his eyes and burns and blinds those eyes. Behold his quivering flesh, and the deep lacerations of his mutilated back. See also the bright red stripes left across his back in the form of welts from his floggings. See these raw wounds as he rubs up against the rough, splintered wooden beams. See him slouching from exhaustion in a way that cuts off his air, in a way that the cross slowly suffocated its victims. Observe Jesus' struggle to push himself up against the restraint of the nails in an attempt to fill his lungs with each labored breath. And now try to comprehend this, that this wounded man, this man who was dying in agony, was not suffering for a single wrong that he had ever done. Jesus Christ's whole life was pure. It was perfect. It was what God intended. It was not marred by sin. It was marked by love. For this man dying on the cross is not only God in human flesh, but Jesus is also the embodiment of love in human form. He is love incarnate. We have no right to expect his love for him to do this, and yet God in love sent his son, Jesus. God certainly did not have to die for us. We did not deserve such love from God. It's only because God is love that we see love nailed to the cross for sins that love did not commit. Yes, the image of the crucifixion is horribly gruesome. And yet the visual image of Christ nailed to the cross, my friends, is not something that you want to turn away from. Nor is the crucifix depicting his death something from which you want to avert your eyes. Instead, my friends, it is deeply beneficial for you to drop to your knees before this bleeding image and ponder it. In fact, ask God to imprint this crucified image on your heart so that you might carry it with you wherever you go. For the day will come when you will need and you will want the cross before your eyes. Through the trials of life and in the moment of your death. For pondering his death is the only way in which you can prepare for the inevitability of your own death. For as you face death, Satan, who is so sly and cunning, will surely mount an assault on your conscience. For in your last hour on earth, remember, this is Satan's last opportunity to rob you of your confidence in Christ. To accomplish this, Satan will turn around and accuse you of the very sins that earlier in your life he urged you to commit. In the hour of death, Satan will suddenly make your past sins so vivid in your memory, you know, those horrendous sins that you had long forgotten. In fact, he will give you almost perfect recall of your past sins. And by these mental images, he will try to convince you that you are no Christian. He will declare you unfit for the kingdom of God. And you will think that all is lost. Satan means to so wound your conscience that you can no longer forgive yourself, much less believe that God can forgive you. For he intends for you to die uncertain of God's feelings for you, to die in unbelief and despair, just so that he can drag you down to hell with him. And so he wants you to lose sight of the crucifixion and its comfort. And this is why it is so vital that you train yourself in life and in death to look upon this wounded image on the crucifix. Ask the Holy Spirit to use the image of the once despised and dying Jesus to stir and to strengthen faith in you. Behold your Savior's wounds on the cross and hold them close to your heart, counting them as your most prized possession. For in the hour of your death, the hope that you have in the wounds of Christ will be your only weapon against the devil's slander intended to drive you to utter despair. This, my friends, is why this image hanging on the cross is not hideous. It is lovely to the dying sinner. Do not be repulsed by Christ's wounds, but sinner, take refuge in these wounds. For like Isaiah says, these wounds heal. Jesus' wounds have healed your relationship with God. God the Holy Spirit uses the law in a noble way to confront unbelief and sin in us while there is still time left for us to repent and believe the good news that has resulted from Good Friday. Satan, on the other hand, will use the same accusing and damning voice of the law for his own evil purposes. He will use it to get you to doubt God when your salvation is on the line. And so, unlike the Lord, Satan's motive in the final moments of your life is to use the law to distract you from looking at the cross and to destroy faith. Satan means to so offend you with your own guilty past so that you will die doubting the salvation that Christ has already accomplished and so freely won for you. Against such satanic thoughts, my friends, you must hold up the occupied Christ with the image of the crucified one upon it. Don't let the devil turn you away from this dying image on the cross, and don't let him draw you into the trap of defending your own worthiness to be in heaven. My friends, that is grounds that a sinner cannot defend. If you attempt to preserve your own image and defend yourself in your last hour, you will surely die, and you will suffer the damnation that Satan desires so much for you. My friend, don't do it. The image that you want before your eyes as they close in death is the image of the Son of God in his last hour and in his last agony. You see, he suffered agony in his death so that you would not have to agonize over death when that day comes. But remember, don't turn away from this hideous image of the crucified Christ. For we know that hidden behind this shame and this suffering, there is nothing more beautiful. Nothing more beautiful than his sacrifice for your sins. And so, my friends, look to the cross. Trust Christ and live. For by his wounds you have been healed. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, give you a good life and a faithful death, looking to the cross for your comfort always. Amen.